David Hagen with us every Friday right here. And we talk Alabama. Usually, just think about it. When Kevin's here, it's very rarely after a loss. It's just Alabama. I mean, very rarely does this segment involve talking about a game where Alabama lost. It just doesn't happen very much. But here we are. Kevin, just talking to you, it's kind of messy right now at Alabama.
Yeah, good morning, Billy. This is actually the fifth season that I've had the honor to be a part of the greatest college football show, the Bill King Show, and talk about Alabama. And in those 4.5 years, Bill, this is the fifth time that I've come on your show to talk about a loss.
Wow.
So we don't do it very often, and I'm glad we don't do it very often. Yeah, it's an interesting time right now. Alabama, some of the issues that we've been facing that kind of raised their head in the Florida game, once again, raised their ugly head. We need to talk about issues on both sides of the ball, and I'll let you pick which side you want to go first. But yeah, not very often Alabama fans have to experience the pain of a loss like we did Saturday night. And congratulations to the Texas Aggies. I sent Karen a congratulatory tweet after the game. Alabama made a lot of mistakes we're going to talk about, but you have to give credit to the Aggies. They played a great game, and their crowd had a lot to do with it.
I'll ask this question, Mike, on Twitter. Ask Kevin his thoughts on the inside linebacker play so far this year.
Yeah, that's a great point. So that's where I wanted to go on the defensive side of the ball. And, you know, the real easy thing is to blame everything on Pete Golding and say that he's not doing a great job as a defensive coordinator. And I'm not happy about a lot of the decisions, but let's be honest. Coach Saban has impact on both the offense and defensive side of the ball. I've not been very pleased the last couple of years with our very vanilla blitz packages. But the one area that I think that is undeniable that Pete Golding is completely responsible for, and that is the fact that he is the inside linebackers coach for the fourth year. And for the fourth year that he's been the inside linebackers coach, I've been extremely disappointed with the play at that position. Back in his 2018, his first year when he was co-defensive coordinator Tosh Lapoy, he had Mac Wilson and Dylan Moses as the inside linebackers. The next year, we had Dylan Moses become injured at the end of fall camp 2019. So true freshman Shane Lee had to jump in there along with true freshman Christian Harris. So he kind of got a pass in 2019 because the injury to Dylan Moses was a real impact. Last year, we had Dylan Moses and Christian Harris. This year, we have Henry To'o and Christian Harris. Bill, you can debate back and forth about Pete's responsibilities with the defense as the defensive coordinator versus Nick Saban, and I know there's a lot of times that Nick doesn't allow changes to be made, but you absolutely cannot deny that in the 4 years that he's been the inside linebackers coach, our inside linebacker play, Bill, has not been good. As a matter of fact, I'll even make the statement that I think in his third year, I've seen some regressions from Christian Harris.
Rest of the defense. Your analysis.
Well, you know, it really hurt not having Sanders. I was a little bit surprised that at one point in the game that the decision was made to move Will Anderson to the Sam and have him drop back in coverage as opposed to trying to put pressure on Calzada, who had struggled coming into that game, and we managed to make him look like Tom Brady. That young man, Bill, thanks to last Saturday night, we'll never buy another drink. He'll never pay for another meal as long as he lives in the state of Texas. He's an Aggie legend, and congratulations to him for the way he played. Another issue is the defensive line play. And I know it's a source of frustration for Alabama fans, but let's touch on this real quick. Like, some of the problems we're having right now, Bill, are because of poor recruiting decisions that were made years ago. Let me go with this real quick. Like, Iabi Anoma, 2018, five-star player. He would have been a fit. He would have been a senior this year. You can debate whether or not he would have stayed. Okay, off-the-field major issues. He was punted, went to Houston. 2019 class, Antonio Alfano. He was a number six. Anoma was the number four player in the country. Alfano was a number six player. Same thing. Major off-the-field issues. We had to kick him out of the program. He went to Colorado. He's an Independence Community College. Ishmael Shopshire. And I really hope my buddy Blake Ruffino's not listening right now because he's going to laugh to the point that he drives off in a ditch. Ishmael Shopshire, 2019 class. He was either going to be a home run or a bust. He did not fit in the Alabama program. So those are three highly rated defensive linemen that were were supposed to be contributors right now that are not in the program. Now, I'm not throwing five-star Damian Payne under the bus. He's a five-star true freshman in the 21 class. You know, he's just not ready to play yet. I'm not saying he's a bust. I think he's going to have a great future for Alabama. But the bottom line is, Bill, there is no Jonathan Allen. There is no A'shaun Robinson on the Alabama defensive line right now. And some of that has to do with the fact of, you know, we've had these recruiting misses. And a recruiting miss doesn't just mean the player didn't pan out like you thought athletically. When they come in and they're problems to the point you have to kick them out of the program, Bill, it's showing up. It's rearing its ugly head right now.
Kevin Hagan with us, talks Alabama on Fridays. Offensive side of the ball, you're grading today.
Yeah, I know everybody was mad at Bill O'Brien. I was mad at Bill O'Brien. I was really disappointed. You know, the third quarter is what really killed us. I mean, the defense turned it around. The defense held A&M to 10 total yards on 6 plays and 1 first down in the third quarter. Of course, they got the touchdown. And to me, the real change in the game was after the block punt by King Makuta. We turned right around and give up a 96-yard touchdown on a kickoff return because somebody can't stay in their lane. I know Bama fans like I were frustrated with the 9th and 10th drive when we didn't run the ball inside the red zone. Of course, you have to remember in the 9th drive, you know, there was a false start by Javion Coyne that turned a 1st and 10 at the 17 into a 1st and 15, which resulted in a punt. But the next drive for me, Bill, 1st and goal from the A&M 3, 3 straight passes. We don't even try to run the ball. Run the ball behind Evan Neal. So in my talks to people in the complex, you know, sharing my frustration, here's where we're at, Bill, and here's what the decision was made. Bill O'Brien, in conjunction with Doug Marrone, did not have confidence in the Alabama offensive line at that point that we could rush for 3 yards and score. And if we're at that point, Bill, that's not a good point to be. So, but my big question is this, you know, everyone's frustrated about the running and the inability to do that. So my question was, well, what happened, Bill, to get us to this point? Why are we at the point where we're asking Chris Owings, a wonderful young man, classy, first class individual, intelligent young man, why are we asking this young man to play right tackle for our team? And that's the decision. I mean, the decision, and it's not just Doug Marrone, it's Coach Saban too, the decision that, you know, Kendall Randolph and J.C. Latham, the true freshman that I really hope could come in there and seize that position, but he's just 17-year-old and Damian George is not ready. Well, once again, Bill, you know, it kind of has to do with some recruiting misses, if you will, on that side of the ball. And, you know, Tommy Brockemeyer, true freshman, you know, I really thought this year, Bill, that Latham would start at right tackle and would move to left tackle next year, and Tommy Brockemeyer will be next year's right tackle. So Javion Coyne and Damian George were the two recruits in 2012, but Javion Coyne is playing left guard right now. But you go back to 2018, we didn't sign any tackles in 2018. 2019, we brought in Evan Neal, brought in Amari Knight, who's playing second team left tackle. Kendall Randolph, who is our backup right tackle right now, was brought in the class of 2017 as a guard from Madison High School. You know, and the bottom line is, you know, we didn't recruit Owens as a tackle. He was recruited as a guard. He's a 6-year player, redshirted his first year. Now he's got the COVID year, whatever. The young man's being asked to play a position that, quite honestly, he doesn't have the athletic ability to do, but it's not his fault. I mean, we're in this position, Bill, because of some recruiting misses and some players that, quite honestly, just haven't developed as fast as we would hope that they would develop. And that kind of gets overlooked. You know, last year we were blessed to have an Outland Trophy winner and the Remington Trophy winner on the offensive line. You know, Chris Owens did play center in the playoffs last year. He did play right tackle. Alabama fans kind of forget Evan Neal missed the Arkansas game last year because he tested positive for COVID. But, Bill, some of the issues that we're dealing with right now are issues because of decisions and things that happened a couple years ago. They're just now raising their ugly head.
Down to about 2 minutes, Mississippi State looming here. What do you expect?
Well, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I have absolutely no idea what Alabama team is going to show up. And I know a lot of Alabama fans think Coach Saban is just going to wave the goat wand and, you know, everything is going to magically go away. And I've heard people, all the players are mad and they ought to be mad. They ought to be mad and embarrassed. I hope they get their act together and go to, you know, head down Highway 82 to Starkville tomorrow night and put it all together. But I honestly don't know, Bill, because, you know, talk is really cheap. This is a much better Mississippi State team. Will Rogers, second year in the program, program, leads the SEC in passings per game and total offense. Mekhi Polk, their Z wide receiver, 46 receptions, leads the SEC. It's a much improved Mississippi State defensive coordinator Zach Arnett. He's going to blitz and blitz, and then he's going to blitz and he's going to blitz some more. And if you watch the A&M tape, that's what you're going to want to do. This is not a game that I think Alabama fans need to take for granted. I don't think it's a game where we just assume we're mad and we're going to go over there and blow the doors off Mississippi State. Bill, it will not surprise me if this is not still a game in the fourth quarter Saturday night.
Kevin Hagan talking Alabama. Down to a couple of seconds. Anything looming in recruiting?
I think the next player that will drop for Alabama is Curtis Perry, defensive lineman out of Montgomery. He's going to announce his five today, and Alabama will certainly be in the five.
All right. Kevin, appreciate the time, man.
Have a great Friday, as always, and roll Tide.
Kevin Hagan with us every Friday to talk Alabama. Yeah,